roll in a hurry to make it on the side of the road. And then repeat after me. Ham and eggs.
Ham and eggs.
Or pork and beans.
Pork and beans.
Would eat more.
Would eat more.
But the cook is so mean.
But the cook is so mean.
Yeah, I got it wrong. It roll in a hurry. To make it on the side of the road. And if I hadn't known, if I hadn't known, my cam was blind.
Cam was blind.
Well, wouldn't wait to work, boy.
Wouldn't wait to work, boy.
Until the clock struck nine.
Till the clock struck nine.
And I got it wrong. It on the side of the road. And if I hadn't known,
if I hadn't known,
my cam was bad.
My cam was bad.
Well, I wouldn't throw the pistol.
I wouldn't throw the pistol.
Had I once have had.
Had I once had had.
Yeah, I got it wrong. On the side of the road. And I look down,
I look down
that old corral,
old corral.
Just looking for the mule,
looking for the mule.
With a shoulder well,
with a shoulder well.
Yeah, I got a roll. To make it on the side of the road, I got it wrong. Whoa! Roll in a hurry, 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 to make it on the side of the road.
You are tuned to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio.
Alberta! Alberta! Oh, Alberta! 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 Oh, Alberta! I've been gambling all night, and I've lost all of my money. So right, Alberta, right, oh right. Right, baby, right, right to me. Oh, right, Alberta, right, right, right to me. Oh, tighten down your hat, burden. I don't care where you at, baby, just to ride. Alberta, oh Alberta, Alberta, I've been drinking all night, and I've drunk all of my money, so right, right to me. All right, Alberta, ride to me. You don't need no saddle, baby. You don't need no gun, baby, just you ride to me. All right, Alberta, ride to me. Oh, saddle up your pony, yeah, put everything you got on it, and baby, just ride to me.
Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of individuals who spoke them and not necessarily of Portsmouth Community Radio, its board of trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. Hey, this is Local Folk, and I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan. I feel like I've been away for a while, but, you know, there's been a lot going on. I lost a dear friend. I've made a few new ones as well, and on my journeys, I have met some really amazing people, and I've had the opportunity to record them in interview. And today, as I did last week, I'm going to play one of those recordings. I wanted to thank Jenny Freeman, another DJ here at WSCA, for playing that recording that I had of Danny Spooner. Now, Danny Spooner mentioned the guest whose interview I will be playing tonight. He mentioned it many times as one of the amazing young people who's bringing folk music all around. And I plan on bringing this young person. I don't even know how young he is. I'm 39. He might be my age. I think he's younger than me. Anyways, he's a guy who has one of those voices, as you just heard, that just resonates, you know, and it really works for unamplified music. You know, it really works super well if you're, I don't know, in prison or if you're on a farm. And that's what this person's specialty is. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. He became a friend of mine when I was out on a sort of like a farm retreat kind of deal out in, as I guess it was a folk gathering out in Connecticut. I suppose this is also a Memorial Day. So we want to thank everyone who we are remembering, who lost their lives in so many bloody conflicts. We thank them for their service to this country. I wish I could say the same for all the politicians. Yikes. Anyways, my guest has been running workshops all over the place, and here's a little excerpt from a workshop that he does on sustainability. He works on a farm, and he sings. His name is Max Godfrey, and Max Godfrey and friends, they do raucous foot-stomping events of workshops, food, and infectious laughter. They're going to learn many songs traditionally sung by prisoners and field workers as a means of enduring the hardships of forced labor, but have been rediscovered by farmers and used as tools for making their work more enjoyable. All right. I'm going to tell you what, I think that a lot of this may be covered in the recording, so I'm just going to get on to that, and I will be back with some announcements and other things that are going on in the Portsmouth area relatively soon, but here we go, and we'll see you soon.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Local Folk. My name is Steve Kerrigan, and I am bringing you the people that make the folk music happen in and around the area and also all across the country. This is a special edition. Because I am down at the Indian Neck Festival, and I am with somebody right now who was mentioned several times by Danny Spooner, all right, and his name is Max Godfrey, and welcome to the program, Max.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Danny was talking specifically about younger people, younger than him. Now, of course, he doesn't seem it to me, but he's a little bit of an older guy. He actually was in London during World War II when they were bombing it.
Wow.
His house got bombed twice.
Man.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
No.
It's tough luck.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's wicked tough luck. But anyways, he was saying young people, you know, picking up the tradition of singing traditional music, and he mentioned you as an example several times as someone exemplary at that. And from what I heard, I'm going to have to agree with him. And thanks. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So you're primarily a singer?
Yes. And also old-time fiddler.
Old-time fiddler.
Yeah.
And do you have a day job?
I work on a farm.
You work on a farm?
Mm-hmm.
What do you make? What do you grow?
We grow 20 acres of mixed vegetables.
20 acres of mixed vegetables? Organic?
Yeah, it's not certified.
Not certified. But you try?
Yeah, yeah. It's all naturally grown. It's no chemicals or anything.
Okay, so it's all naturally grown. It's not, I don't know, Monsanto or whatever?
No, it's no Roundup.
Okay, no Roundup, no Monsanto, no, it's not a big factory farm or something like that. Where is it located?
Rockmart, Georgia, in Northwest Georgia.
In Georgia, mm-hmm. Okay. How'd you get here?
I was touring the Northeast for 2 months, and during the winter, I'm cooking pots of soup. And teaching people Southern prison songs.
Now, wait a minute. How'd that happen?
I've been doing...
Doing time?
I guess that that whole, the how'd I get started singing work song?
No. Well, no, I'm just kind of, you said you were teaching, it seems like... Were you cooking him soup to try to bring him in so you could teach him these songs, or?
It was just kind of, it was an attempt to kind of get people excited about food and music and the intersection between those two, and also work in a way. And I kind of like went around to different farms and it's just an attempt to try and make this kind of like small farming a more of a, something that has more like culture and more community to it. And
are you part of the small farm, the what would they call it, the slow food movement or something like that?
I'd say I'm part of it, you know.
So you're making soup and you're talking about music? This makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes sense in a way. I usually don't hear about that. It's kind of funny because most of the time when you go to a concert, they're giving you, you know, trying to sell you cookies or something.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of soup, though? Just tasty
soup.
Oh,
and it was, it was like sweet potato, butternut squashes, carrots, leeks.
That sounds
good. Then some greens, kale or something, and then stock if we had it, and butter, lots of butter.
Oh, man, that sounds really good.
Yeah, but yeah, it was also like, trying to cook with seasonal stuff, you know, and get people.
I'm going to back up.
Yeah.
Okay, go way back and just say... Did you listen to the music when you were... Okay, question number one. How old are you now?
22.
Okay, so I won't go that far back.
Okay.
I'll go 21 years. Did you grow up with the music?
Not really. I grew up listening to Beach Boys and Bob Dylan, and my parents would sing to me, you know, a lot going to sleep. Both my parents play guitar.
Your parents play guitar? Was music a part of your life?
I played classical violin like through middle school and high school.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So what was your first introduction to, besides your voice, an instrument? Was it in school?
It was starting piano. It was piano. Took piano lessons when I was like 6.
So do you have a piano in your house?
Yeah, my dad plays piano.
Oh, your dad played, and he sat down and played the piano.
Yeah.
And okay. So this is, here's the big question. Did you and your family stand around the piano and sing songs?
No.
Oh. Yeah. Some families did that, you know.
Yeah, that never happened.
That was that was something they did a long time ago. People would get together for family events, and they would all sing songs around the piano. So that didn't happen, but your dad played was he like, hey, son, I have a song I'd like to play on the piano for you.
He just, whenever he felt like it, he just, whenever he was relaxed, wanted to relax, he'd get up on the piano and sing.
So when he wanted to relax or do something, he'd sit down at the piano and play.
Yeah.
And what about your mom?
And my mom would, She doesn't play guitar anymore, but she had one, and I remember her singing lullabies to me, you know, a long time ago.
Lullabies.
When I was young, and yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did they do for work? Were they farmers?
No. My mom is a nurse, but now she teaches elementary school. My dad's a doctor.
Your dad's a doctor, your mom's a nurse, and you've become a farmer. Were they happy for that?
Yeah, they're really excited about it.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it took a little, they were a little bit skeptical at first, but
yeah.
And
you said food is the cure,
involved.
Dad. Food is the cure.
Yeah, food as medicine.
Food is medicine.
Yep.
Son, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I write prescriptions. I don't know, you know? No. I mean, so is this okay, so then you're a self-made man. This is something that you became.
Totally. I guess I've adopted, you know,
you've
folk
adopted.
Music.
Yeah. You've adopted folk music because they were singing Bob Dylan, which you would call folk music. It's not exactly the folk that we're doing here.
No.
That was, you know, but was that sort of your introduction to what you would call folk music? Was like a Bob Dylan or something like that?
Yeah, I would say playing songs out of Rise Up Singing. You know, I was learning guitar and we had that Pete Seeger's songbook lying around, which just had all these old songs that I'd heard growing up. And I got in through those kinds of songs that were written by, you know, like Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, you know, Bob Dylan.
This is for the people that are listening. Rise Up Singing is mm-hmm.
is it's a collection of American folk songs that I'm pretty sure it was kind of spearheaded by Pete Seeger and his friends, and it's just got all these songs that are kind of like part of the American, you know, canon of folk music.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay. And it has the chords, and that's how I learned how to play guitar, you know, going through that book.
Okay, so there it was, and you had a guitar, mm-hmm. And there you have it.
Yeah. And also my history teacher in high school, he kind of lured me in. I was playing classical violin,
mm-hmm.
but he had, you know, when I started in high school, he opened up his classroom on Tuesdays at lunch and brought kids in and had washboards and wash tubs and had a little jug band. And so he kind of like broke down the classicalness over about 4 years. And so by the end of high school, I kind of dropped, dropped the classical side and was a fiddle player. You know?
The transformation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Hey, that's great. You know, so the school had something to do with it.
Yeah, for sure.
It sounds like quite a bit to do with it. It turned you from classical to the dark side.
Yeah.
To the dark side of folk music. And plus an old copy of Rise Up Singing.
Yeah.
Rock and roll. So, yeah. Okay, so you were into that, and so you're doing that music throughout high school. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So how did you, this style that you, actually, before I talk about your style of singing, I'd love it if you could give us an example of it.
Oh, yeah.
And sing a song.
All right.
Rock and roll. All right, let's hear it.
Well, I went up on the mountain and I gave my horn a blow and I thought I heard old Mabel say, "Yonder come my bow. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me, Diamond Joe. Well, I ain't gonna tell you no story, and neither would I lie. I'm gonna wait till my Maybell come, and far away we'll fly. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me, Diamond Joe. Well, I can't no work in the factory, and I can't afford a farm. I'm gonna wait till my Maybell come, she gonna call me home. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, Diamond Joe, oh, where'd you find him? Diamond Joe, where'd you find him? Diamond Joe, where'd you find him? Diamond Joe.
Excellent.
Diamond Joe.
Max Godfrey singing Diamond Joe. Okay, so this is what I wanted people to hear, is this style, which is a very, very folk style. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not Bob Dylan folk, though.
No, no. Like, traditional, I guess.
That's traditional.
Yeah.
Were there how did you learn? Was this your teacher in high school that taught you how to develop that?
No, I kind of got into it through my teacher kept getting on me to learn fiddle tunes, actual tunes, because the whole high school I'd been kind of playing around, you know, improvising, which is, I learned a lot doing that, but he kept saying, well, you should lead the band sometimes on fiddle tunes. And so he showed me Arthur Smith recordings, and I kind of like started to get an idea of what this traditional, you know, string band music sounded like, where the fiddle kind of, you know, can lead the band in these types of songs.
So this was string band music?
Yeah.
What you just sang was not string band.
No, no.
That was something totally different. But what you're saying is you became a leader by...
Yeah. Kind of. Well, I kind of got... That was my introduction in the kind of the traditional mindset, where you go back to recordings and you learn from, like, you kind of try and trace a song or a tune to the earliest point you can. And that brought me, you know, back to learning fiddle tunes from Western North Carolina, from, you know, field recordings they take in the 60s. And I learned to learn by ear, you know, that's how we do it. And then after kind of listening to those field recordings of fiddle players, like, I got really into listening to, you know, farther back and listening to songs and kind of the roots of the blues music that I'd kind of begun to sing also. And so there, I'd been listening to some interviews of, you know, people like Big Bill Brunsey and Blind Willie McTell, who were country blues players that I'd been trying to emulate. And they would often refer to work songs and to, you know, the songs that you sang that were part of, you know, agricultural life in, you know, the South, and also prison life in the South.
Prison life and agricultural life were intermingled a little bit, weren't they? I mean, they were doing agriculture on the prisons, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely. Like, prisons and, yeah, they were plantations, you know. It got to a certain point where prisons had a whole plantation system within them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
So, your music teacher, it was a history teacher, though. Did you say that?
Yeah, American history.
An American history teacher was the music teacher that was getting you into the music. And so that's why. Would you say that's... Did you decide to dig back on your own, or did he say, hey, you know...
He kind of pointed me in the right direction, and then I...
That's excellent.
And then I wound up... Then I kept going a lot deeper, just kind of...
So you got hooked.
Yeah, kind of. It was... Well, I graduated high school, and... I haven't, you know, I've kept in touch with my teacher, but definitely he tipped me off, and then I kind of went off on my own.
Okay.
And just been searching around. Okay. Mostly just by myself.
And you like to go back?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And what is it about it? Is it what is it about it that going as far back as you can, you know, what is that you enjoy about that?
Well, I think part of it was I was listening to contemporary folk music, and I think it's great. I think a lot of contemporary folk music is great, and it's really inspiring, and it's really great for hooking people into the music. But I think eventually that it was very a lot of it is very polished and very kind of produced sounding. Mm-hmm. And I was just, once I heard these old scratchy old recordings where you could hear like a train going on in the background, or a dog barking, or chicken, you know, in the background, or you could hear people, they would be messing up, they would take breaks, you know, people would introduce the songs and you'd hear people laughing, and you could, it felt much more like you were, you know, experiencing, you know, folk in its real environment. And so it definitely, yeah, it took kind of going back to the original sources and kind of leaving behind the studio recordings, I guess.
If you make a folk album, are you going to do it in your living room? Just don't tell anyone about it? See what happens?
That's the thing. I think I need to, I'll probably end up in a studio to be able to make any money at it, you know?
Yeah.
But I do have some recordings have come up, you know, in, that I put in the Greenhorns, almanac that include just us singing work songs, kind of just out in the open. It has, you know, some recordings of us singing them, you know, with other groups of farmers. And so it doesn't sell, you know, as well, but it's, so
if you had the opportunity to make something with someone that produced like a, you know, that was going to really produce something like they were going to add bass.
I wouldn't see. Yeah, that would be the, I think I want it to be like a quality recording, but I want it to still, I would, if I went into the studio, I would just do what I have been doing, and I don't think I would add very much, so yeah. I think I could kind of do it on my own, but if I knew just the basics of recording.
Do you know who Jeff Warner is by any chance?
No.
Okay, well, he's a great folk musician, and when you listen to his stuff, it sounds as if they just had fancy equipment back then and were able to capture it in that way, you know, to me. So I'm wondering if that's the kind of, you know, kind of deal, you know, I mean, you don't want all the scratches.
No. Well, I want the scratches that are in my playing.
In your playing.
I don't want to make an attempt to polish it up, but, yeah. and I just don't. I don't think it'd be worth it. I think that's part of why, like, I enjoy playing music and why people enjoy hearing me play is they hear, you know, that, and that connects them to back to something a little bit.
I feel like they probably deeper. Hear authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Something that's to me sounded authentic.
Yeah.
And I think that's what other people are hearing out there.
You know. Thanks.
You practice.
Yeah, I do, for sure.
You had to develop.
Yeah, I practice in the field when I'm working on my own. You know, I just sing the songs over and over again. And I practice at the farmer's markets when I have my case open, you know, when playing for money.
Well, what does that look like, though, when you practice? So you've heard, I don't know, Alan Lomax's recording.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say.
Yeah.
Would that be maybe something?
Would
that be something like that? Let's say that you heard a song, you know, from way back when it was one of those recordings, and do you write down the words or something?
Yeah.
Just listen to it, or you write them down?
Yeah.
Or you listen to it over and over again? Or,
yeah. I listen to it a lot, and that usually before I even really attempt to transcribe it.
Yeah.
And then usually after I listen to it, that kind of gives me an idea that, oh yeah, I need to transcribe it. So if I'm actually writing down the lyrics, I've already listened to it a lot.
You've already listened to it a lot.
Yeah. Right. And then just writing out the lyrics, the act of doing that, that kind of solidifies it. And I don't really actually end up going back to those transcriptions I've written
back
out.
To it. Yeah.
It's just kind of like that kind of evens out. It kind of irons the whole thing out for me. And, you know, all the little blank spaces that I didn't catch kind of fall into place just in the act of writing, really. And then it's kind of there. And then it's like, and then I can just go out and keep just sing it to myself a bunch, you know, when
so once it's
out in the field.
Once it's there,
mm-hmm.
sort of internalized, when it comes back out, it comes back out probably a little different.
Yeah.
But you've made it your own.
Is yeah.
that, you know, this is kind of like the process, you know, of how things change and yet stay the same.
Yeah, definitely. And
like you ever go and sing something and be like, I've got it. And then you go back to the original and you're like, oh man, it's a little different.
Yeah. Like with that Diamond Joe that I just sang, I've changed it kind of subconsciously. I go back to the recording and I'm doing the timing a little bit different. Because I've adapted it really to singing with other people in the field and trying to keep people in time. And the way that the original recording was has this really intricate rhythm to it, but I had to kind of even it out a little bit just for the sake of using it as a work song.
Oh, okay.
To
bring it to other people.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, so it definitely wouldn't fit with the old recording.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'd like to almost compare them. Anyways,
yeah.
We can't do that right now because we need to take a break. This is Local Folk. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan. I'm with Max Godfrey, and we're going to come back in just a couple minutes and talk a little bit about where we go from here and how this whole thing happened. All right, so we will be right back on Local Folk.
All right. I think it's time to let you know what's going on during the community calendar. I'm sorry to interrupt that interview with Max Godfrey. I have to say that, you know, I really, really love to have people right here in the studio. But on the other hand, when I pre-record an interview, I actually get to listen to it, you know, as opposed to just being in the moment. I mean, it was in the moment a few weeks ago, and now I'm listening to it going, gosh, I think I'm really enjoying this, and I hope that my listeners are enjoying it as well. Here in the Portsmouth community, I need to let you know that Beacon Hospice is seeking volunteers to create life review posters for local hospice patients. The life review poster is a collection of various pictures throughout one's life. Anyone who enjoys scrapbooking and would be interested in volunteering can connect with Whitney at 603-433-2480 or via email at Whitney, W-H-I-T-N-E-Y, dot Blethen, maybe, B-L-E-T-H-E-N, at A-M-E-D-I-S-Y-S .com. Also, to let you know, the first Wednesday of every month is Acoustic Jam Night with Chip at the Rice Public Library in Kittery. These sessions take place from 6 to 8 p.m. For more information is at 207-439-1553. If you have any or an item of interest that you would like to include on our community calendar, go to our website, wscafm.org, for guidelines and information, then email calendar at wscafm.org. In terms of what's happening musically around here, tonight is Oran Moore, 7 p.m. They've already started. I think they go to 7 to 9 down at Rera. Also, to let you know, I myself have a gig down at Rera. Me with the Great Bay Sailor down at Rera on Wednesday nights, and I'm at the Stone Church on Thursday nights. And I don't know if there's anything more interesting than that going on. So stop in Rera 7 to 10 on Wednesday nights. Or tonight after the show, you can see Oran Moore. But definitely Wednesday, 7 to 10. Why not? I think there's some sort of disclaimer or something. I don't think they're going to pay me more if more people come in. But clearly it's within... Well, clearly I'd be very happy if a whole bunch of people showed up on Wednesday night at Rera 7 to 10. All right. Let's get back with Max Godfrey, because this interview is hopefully interesting to you as it is to me, and I'm really finding it great. So we have another 18 minutes of that, and then we're going to be ready for Under the Radar. Thanks again to Jenny Freeman, who is a hostess of Under the Radar, who played my interview with Danny Spooner last week and then went on to do her show. But up next, we have more Max Godfrey.
back with Local Folk. I'm Steve Kerrigan. I'm here with Max Godfrey, and he's a Georgia boy.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. And he went, his folks were both in the medical profession, a nurse and a doctor.
Yeah.
And he said, forget about this. I'm going to go make good food. I'm going to go make good food out on the farm. I'm going to make good food. I'm going to make soup, and I'm going to share it with people. And I'm also going to share with them this music, this traditional music that I've been learning. Is that, how would you describe that?
Yeah, it kind of evolved, you know, over time. You know,
so this is what I'm trying to figure out. So you had a history teacher that really taught you, and then you really grasped onto the idea that you're going to dig way back. You're going to dig deep, and you're going to do this, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but tell me how this relates to farming. I mean, I know that some of the farming songs are work songs.
Yeah.
And when you were digging way back, you were finding work songs. But was it the music that led you to farming? Tell me more about that.
It was actually like, I was finished my first semester at college, or I was towards the end of it, and an alumni from Middlebury up in Vermont, he comes back to school. And he is starting a farm on Long Island in this old restored plantation out on the East End. And he's asking for volunteers. And the way he did it is he showed up to school and started singing these African running songs. And he said that, they sound like, Moto Wayaka Mama, Moto Wayaka. Moto Wayaka Mama, Moto Wayaka, hear me, Moto Wayaka, 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 Wayaka. So he's singing these songs, asking, and
this is what you would sing if you were in Africa and you were running?
If you're running to the fields from your village.
Oh, running to the fields from the village.
Oh, not to the fields. Actually, it's to school. It's actually the kids would sing it running to school.
So the kids would sing it running to school.
Yeah, but we would sing it running from the house where us volunteers on the farm lived. We'd run out to the fields in the morning singing these songs. And he was about kind of integrating work songs back into small-scale agriculture in America.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So he had this vision of getting farmers kind of singing and making work more of a kind of musical and fulfilling experience.
And this is, you had a garden even at the time?
I had never done
anything.
I didn't even know. I didn't really believe in vegetables at all. Even though I was a vegetarian, I had stopped eating meat because I was just living off of beans and rice.
Okay, so you didn't believe in meat.
No.
You didn't embrace the veg.
No, I didn't know anything about vegetables. This was like, 3 years ago, I guess.
Okay.
And, yeah.
I know that world. I know it a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. But, okay, so you know, and then this person comes, Moto Wayaka, and you're like, what are you singing? He's like, come farm.
Yeah, he's like, we're singing these songs, and come out and spend the summer on this farm, and you'll be around all this music. And I was, at the time, I was an aspiring blues singer and old-time fiddler. And so I wanted to be around these songs, and I had also heard a few prison songs through listening to, mostly Big Bill Brunzy. And so that was just kind of like piqued my interest. So I followed him out to his farm for that summer.
Unbelievable. How many people were out there?
We had, that first summer we had about like a crew of seven people. They had like, a lot of volunteers coming out who'd stay for shorter terms. But there were probably like three paid people, and then the rest were just volunteers.
And they all wanted to sing, is my guess. My guess is that they were lured in by the singing. That they liked the singing.
Yeah, for sure.
And that they had an interest.
Mm-hmm.
And you were singing a little bit at the time, at least.
Yeah.
Although they're mostly playing fiddle?
I was doing both, about half
50-50.
I was singing with guitar, singing old blues songs.
Singing old blues songs with guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And you worked on this farm with like a few other people. And did you sing? You sing in the fields?
Yeah.
Sing that song running out to the field? The field was probably right next door. You probably didn't have to run very far.
Yeah, it was about, you know, a third of a mile or something out there.
So you get about one verse done. And...
Yeah, a few verses. Get them out. But yeah, we had done a lot of those. We kind of sang all those songs getting out of the fields. And he had a huge amount. He has the guy who started the farm, Bennett Kinesny, he had just a lot of songs that he's also pulled from Appalachian tradition and from Southern American. And he's also got a bunch of prison songs in his bag too. But sometimes he wouldn't be out in the field, and then I just kind of like, once there was this gap, you know, sometimes when he wouldn't be around, and I started singing blues songs that I knew, and you know, people really liked them, and I kind of just realized that, and I started to kind of like learn how to project the voice a little bit better, and my voice, you know, just it started changing as I realized these songs were like tools, and if you projected right, you could bring people. They would just, people would hone in, and they people would listen, and they'd want to sing along, and so it just, having that summer out there singing in the fields, it really set me off like go back and learn a lot more of these traditional African American work songs, so that I could, you know.
And then you also said, I want to be a farmer as well. I want this to be the whole deal for me.
Yeah, well then I went back for another year of college and then came back to the farm. And then there's a new manager at the farm, Creek Iverson, who, after, you know, a couple months that summer, he said, you should just keep doing what you're doing. And you, like, this is...
It just made sense.
Yeah, he's like, just... Like, you just consider this your education. And he's like, what you're, he's like, just like, you should just kind of keep going with what you're doing. And so I ended up, you know, just staying on at the farm through the winter. And
perfect.
Yeah, I didn't end up finishing up at college, but
you're a farmer now.
Yeah.
Are you still at the same farm?
I'm back in Georgia. I kind of got, I read some Georgia writers and heard some rumors about that, the small scale agricultural scene in Georgia and the small farm starting up down there. And I wanted to check it out. So I took an apprenticeship.
Yes. You want to go home and you want to make it happen there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how about another song?
All right.
I'm ready.
Oh, birdie, oh, Lord, yeah, oh, I'm, oh, birdie, oh, Lord, yeah, oh, I'm, raise my pie and let her drop on down, oh, I raise my pie and let her drop on down, oh, I won't no difference when the sun go down. Oh, I won't no difference when the sun goes down. Oh, I, oh, birdie, oh, Lord, yeah. Oh, I, oh, birdie, oh, Lord, yeah. Oh, I, go ahead, marry, don't you wait on me. Oh, I go ahead, marry, don't you wait on me. Oh, I might not want you when I go free. Oh, I might not want you when I go free. Oh, I, oh, birdie, oh, Lord, yeah. Oh, I, oh, birdie, oh, Lord, yeah. Oh, I want for the bushes and the trees so tall. Oh, I want for the bushes and the trees so tall. Oh, I call out, birdie, from the warm end wall. Oh, I call out, birdie, from the warm in wall. Oh, ah, oh, birdie, oh, Lord, yeah. Oh, ah, oh, birdie.
Lord, yeah. Oh, when you marry, don't you marry, yeah. Farm in Maine, oh, is every day Monday, whole hammer in your hand, oh, when you marry, marry, yeah. Railroad man, oh, is every day Sunday dollar in your hand, oh, oh, birda, birda. Oh, Lord, gal, oh, ah, oh, birda, birda, oh, Lord, gal, oh, ah, look at here, coming, well, down the road, oh, ah, walk like birda, but she walk too slow, oh, look here, coming, well, down the road, oh, ah, walk like butter, but she walk too slow. Oh, ah. Oh, butter, butter. Oh, Lord, gal. Oh, ah. Oh, butter, butter. Oh, Lord, gal. Oh, ah. Oh, butter, butter. Oh, Lord, gal. Oh, ah. Oh, butter, butter. Oh, Lord, yeah, oh, ah.
Oh, birda, birda.
Birda, birda, what?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Looks like some of this might be available on SoundCloud.
Yeah, yeah, two songs. They're different ones that I haven't
done. Not the birda, birda.
Mm-mm.
Oh, Lord.
No, no.
So, what would somebody be doing, just to give somebody an idea? I mean, are they plowing? I don't, you know, I mean, what are they doing?
These are, you can actually hear on the field recordings of the axes swinging and the chomping against the wood.
Oh, they're chopping down trees?
Yeah, they're chopping down trees. And so sometimes it'd be eight people standing around one tree, four people swinging in, and then four people swinging out, kind of in an alternating pattern around the tree.
Because it was on the one, basically, mm-hmm. You know, but if you, was it,
oh, Lord, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Would it ever be, it was always on the one, it wasn't on the one and the three, for example, like, boom. Like, you know, with the double
axes.
Yeah, that
would be it.
Oh, okay.
Birda, birda, whap. Oh, Lord, yeah. And then the other people would be coming, whap.
So it'd be going back and forth.
Uh-huh. Or sometimes, or there'd be other instances, you know, where you'd be standing on top of the tree. Everybody, the tree's already cut down. You have a huge tree that you're going to cut into sections.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody stands in a, lines up along the tree and spaced out, and they swing it between their legs.
I don't even know if they have trees.
They're all
like that
going
anymore.
At the same time. Yeah, that's how the, all those big old, you know, old growth forests in the South, that's how they all got cut down was through these.
Slowly and rhythmically.
Plantations just inching their way out, you know.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit. If somebody wanted to, what's the best way for people to hear? What, first of all, would you just call these Southern Work songs? Is that what you do? Is it Southern Work song? Is it just American?
Prison songs.
Prison songs.
I'd say just prison songs, African American work songs.
African American work songs.
I mean, they're all sung by African Americans. Totally, you know.
On the recordings that you have, it's almost all African Americans.
The recordings on SoundCloud. They're me. I actually kind of.
I mean, they're you. I mean, but you're here. The recordings that you heard.
Yeah. There are all
your
these,
source material.
All the ones that from prisons. They're all African American singers. That's, you know, and I do, you know, I learned from field recordings of, you know, kind of like of white fiddle players in the mountains, but,
yes.
But this genre, listen,
in this particular genre that we're singing, that you're singing right now,
yeah.
Well, we can find it on YouTube, right?
You could find me leading a few songs on YouTube, and you can also find the source materials on YouTube too.
Oh, you can. Okay, well, if you go to YouTube and you type in Max Godfrey, it's MaxGodfrey.
Mm-hmm.
That ought to pop some things up.
But it ought to pop up some things. Maybe pop also write in, you know, work song
And then, work song. If we look up work song, just work song, you'll pop up.
No, Max Godfrey plus work song.
You know, like, oh, okay, Max Godfrey plus work song. I was going to say, that's pretty good if you just type in work song. You've gone far in the world of YouTube.
Yeah.
You'll just type in music and you'll pop up. Wouldn't that be nice? Can you imagine? Work song. And on SoundCloud, if you type in Max Godfrey, you're not going to pop up exactly. It's some other Max Godfrey.
Yeah, I think so.
So you probably have to do like Max Godfrey. What's the name of the songs on SoundCloud?
Illinois Blues.
Illinois Blues.
And Longest Train.
The Longest Train.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, you know, if you want to get in touch with Max about, I don't know, booking maybe? Or
yeah, that
soup,
would be the...
Soup recipes. But probably booking.
Yeah. Booking for going around and bringing people in the community together and cooking them soup and teaching them work songs.
So
for
we
a
could do
hours.
All of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So
as long
we can,
as you have access to kitchen and some chairs, you know.
Kitchen and some chairs.
Yeah. Or we can make it a potluck and save all that.
Okay. You could do a potluck as well. Maybe you do the house concert.
Yes. For sure.
Maybe that's one way to
do
it.
We just need a porch, the house, the church, a Grange Hall, anything.
Okay. So a gathering
center.
Place.
Yes.
A gathering place. You can get in touch with them. M. Godfrey. M-G-O-D-R. No. Scratch that. M-G-O-D-F-R-E-Y 218 @gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay. M-G-O-D-F-R-E-Y 218 @gmail.com. You can have Max Godfrey come. He'll provide the soup. And it'll be local soup if you're from Georgia. No, but otherwise, I mean, what I want you to do is I want you to come up to Portsmouth, New Hampshire sometime. We have a great farmer's market, and a great slow food and local food movement up there. I mean, it'd be super cool to get you up sometime up there and show them what this stuff sounds like. I don't think they know. But if you came down,
I don't think so either.
Listen, I will try to find a way, to make that happen anyways, because I'd like them to hear it. But, either way, it's been a real pleasure so far hearing you here at Indian Neck. And I hope that you'll continue. Obviously, I'm sure to sing plenty of songs here.
Yeah, for sure.
And
the night is young.
The night is young. I don't know. Yeah, we'll probably be up all night tonight, right?
Yeah.
That's what they say. I'm not sure about that. But anyways, for my listeners out there, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. And if you want any other information, you can email me at stephencarrigan.com is the best place probably. And you can go carrigan.stephen@gmail.com or... there's any number of ways to find me. Look up Local Folk on Google and it'll pop on up. So, listen, have a great time, and we'll see you next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, that was it. That was my recorded interview with Max Godfrey, and I was happy to kick back and listen to it for a little bit. I kept up on a little bit that was going on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. You can go Steve Carrigan's Local Folk Radio Show is where you'd find me on Facebook, or, of course, you can go to stephencarrigan.com. There's an archive of almost all of these programs, and I guarantee that we're going to put the Max Godfrey program up there very, very shortly. I really enjoyed listening to it. Prison songs, work songs, but really, he's just a nice guy. And I'll tell you what else. From him, I actually was inspired to start, and from some of the other people I met, I was inspired to start a singing session. This is a session where people are going to get together and sing sort of more communal songs. I'm going to start doing that on Sundays at a place called Annie's in Agunquit. It's going to be 4 to 7. So we're going to get together and sing these songs with these big choruses or these repeats and all of that other things. If you want to know more about it, I'll let you know about it on my Local Folk Radio Show Facebook page, or also Great Bay Sailor Facebook page, of which I'm a member of, or greatbaysailor.com. I'm sure I'll post it there as a Great Bay Sailor members gig. But it's going to be singers, and it's going to be call and response, and it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. Listen, as you know, what I really want to do is just get people out there and get them doing something with the music. So please, you can do it with me. You can do it with anyone. If you do it with me, I'd be really happy about that. Next week, I have Jim Henderson, who's going to come up from Boston and talk about how he's created plays out of old political songs and all sorts of other things. So we look forward to